Come to wisdom's house. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1 to 11. Come to God's house. May I paraphrase our title? It is here that you will receive true shelter from the storms of life. In God's house, we find the favor with God. And it is the beginning of true happiness, the place where the truth is declared, the place where the wisdom for life is expounded. This wisdom that we have, all written in the Word of God and given to us through the ages, all of it gives to us the credibility, the strength, the faith, and also gives to us the confidence to live life. And as we take time to meditate upon God's Word, you find in it that we would arrive at the greatest wisdom that God's Word brings to us. What is that? The wisdom that is found in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, God's Son. Remember, in the last chapter, we reach a climax in our study in chapter 8, where Solomon, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, gives to us the messianic direction concerning the text, that all this points to the Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, the wisdom that was made flesh, that dwelled among men. How He was with the Father in the beginning of no beginnings, and He was there to make all things when time began. Can you understand what we are speaking about? If you are living here in this 21st century, how do you know how this earth come from? But in this book is recorded for us the wisdom to show us the origin. And when you understand the origin, the purpose of your creation, what a blessing it is. Because you know you have a purpose for life. And this is the climatic theme of the book of Proverbs. Wisdom's person. And this is the mystery of wisdom. This is the mystery of godliness. When the Word became flesh and dwelled among men. Indeed, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. And God's blessing is reserved for those who keep God's ways, who stick to the path of wisdom. When Israel came out of Egypt, God gave them His laws. And what else did God instructed them? God said, build him a house. You recall? God gave the law, and God said, build me a house. And here, as we look at the theme of the Proverbs, as you look at the development of the Word, Solomon speaks of imbibing the wisdom, the commandments of God, the laws of God, and then now he arrived at the house of God. Why did he speak about the house? Well, the house has great significance. Right? We all go back to a house. All of us have a shelter over us. And in that house, you find, well, your favorite armchair, perhaps. And you find the favorite food, right? And you, as you open your refrigerator, there you are able to find rest. after a long day's work? Well, shelter, the house, the place whereby you find security. And where is that ultimate security? Well, the ultimate security is found in God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you possess, or who possessed you, right? The Spirit of God that is within you, God dwelling with you, His presence with you. Wow! That is the high point in the life of the believer. And Solomon gives to us this picture of the house in order to help us to understand and see how this house offers what God would want us to find to our satisfaction for life. You seek for satisfaction in life, well, come to God's house. Here it is said that this house has seven pillars. Wisdom has built a house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Well, our verse begins by a picture of the house of God. A picture that is painted for us. And then an invitation. Three thoughts for our meditation. Feast. Invitation to partake, verse 1 to 5. Foolish instruction to forsake, right? Foolishness, instruction to forsake. Right? There is that foolishness that is in us that God says, forsake. And then there is the fear, the ingredient for entrance, 1 to 5, 6 to 8, and 9 to 11. The Lord wants us to hear the call of wisdom. For she has built her house, a magnificent house, hewn out with seven pillars. And we are invited to come to the house for a banquet. Ah, you know, we eat many meals a day. You wake up, you look for breakfast, and then there is tea break, and then there is lunch, and after that there is afternoon tea, and then there is dinner, and for some there is also supper. Well, here we are bidden on to come to wisdom's feast. Come and partake, come and enjoy the feast that is prepared for you. You see, every time we come to the God, to God's house, right, when the Word of God is open to us, we have before us the spread of all the delicacies that His Word has placed for us. And it's for us to think about it, meditate upon it, and so that our life will be enriched. Meditating upon the Word of God. And here is the invitation that is given to us. Verse 2 says, she has killed her beast, she has mingled her wine, she has also furnished her table. And so here, to cook a meal, first you have to prepare the ingredients. You have to go to the market, or you go to the supermarket, and you look for the ingredients that you need for your cooking. And all that you need to prepare the feast. And so verse 2 says, she has killed her beast. The various types of meat for the sumptuous meal. She has mingled her wine. Ah, the best drink that would be an enjoyment to the appetite, to the palate. And she has furnished her table. You know, you go to a meal, you go to a banquet, right? It's not just the food cooked, right? It's not just the the drink, But it is also the environment, it is also the atmosphere. You want it to be something that costs you to be able to enjoy, to be able to be in a relaxing mood, to be able to, with the stomach growling and ready to partake of the feast. And this is what the invitation is being given here. She has sent her maidens and she crieth out upon the highest places of the city. So here, the ambassadors were sent. Ambassadors were sent to invite those who would come. And wisdom herself, here verse 3 tells us, crieth upon the highest places of the city. So the invitation was being given. This great house with this great banquet is all prepared, ready, and the guests are being bidden to come. And here verse 4 tells us, whoso is simple, let him turn him hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. And here is given to us an imagery to help us to understand, right, in that coming of the partaking of the feast. Well, it is imbibing the wisdom for life, you see. And we can understand what it is to be invited to a good meal. But here, the twist, so-called, in the story, is that those who are bidden would not come. Jesus gave this parable in Matthew chapter 22. This was the story expanded from this text. Jesus spake by parables in Matthew 22. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And they went their way, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise. So it seemed that those valued guests are not ready to come. They are about tending their farm, doing their business. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully, and slew them. Instead of accepting the invitation, those who are invited were very rude. To the servants that came to give the invitation, and well, our text tells us, treated them spitefully and slew them. The king was very wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. They were given first priority. They were given first access, the privilege. Just like we said, you are given special tickets for first viewing. And yet, there are those who take it lightly and said, no, don't want. So what did the king say? Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, they saw a man who had not a wedding garment. When this man came in, somehow he was not prepared to come to a wedding. You need to put on your wedding garment. And this man was not prepared. And what was the story Jesus was saying to us? That he is come to rescue sinners. And many have rejected him. Many have gone their own way, make their own gain, and to the detriment of their own loss. But there was one who did come, but did not know how the dress code. He was not admitted to get to heaven. You need to believe, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to simply accept the invitation and prepare yourself to put on the robe of righteousness, the garb of Christ. But there was one who was not prepared. And the king, when he came and he saw the man, he said, "Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless, he was caught off guard. And the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." What is the story that Jesus is saying to us? You see, there is a great parallel. When Solomon developed his Proverbs, and how the gospel develops in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the time chapter 22 came, right, the people have rejected him. They don't want him. He was popular in Galilee, but not in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, you see all the high-flying rabbis, right, and all the who's who. They don't want God. But in Galilee, among the masses of God's people, you see, there was a great enthusiasm for the things of God. Well, this is what Jesus, this is the reality of the human heart. The human heart is very hard, hardened by sin, and don't want the ways of God, don't want to seek true profit. And here wisdom is inviting us to a feast, a wonderful meal. Why would they reject it? Why would we reject it? And the Lord prepared for us. Well, we said this. That there is a foolishness that can impede a person to want to come to God. And that's our second thought. Foolish. Instruction to forsake. Verse 6 says, "Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." How many times must we be spoken to? How many times must the Holy Spirit prompt our heart, and still we choose to reject the voice of God in our hearts, to follow Him, to obey Him? Why is it that our hearts are so hard? Why is that wayward streak so strong? Forsake the foolish. And here he's saying that, well, there is an alternative. There is an alternative. There is another way. to go. And I tell you that is a better way. Well, that's the foolish speaking. Forsake the foolish and live. If you want life, Jesus Christ is calling out to you to receive Him, to come to Him. And if you are seeking to win someone to Christ, and you seek to be someone, to be an instrument, an ambassador for Christ, then you'll find oftentimes you'll be faced with many oppositions. There will be many who would say to you, well, this is not what I want. You can offer it. Verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. What is the wisdom here? Well, if you know that that is a scorner, if you know that that is a wicked man, leave them alone. It's sad, isn't it? Yeah. But it's a reality. The hardness of the heart. You can't help until God would cause a conviction, and there would be a willingness, a repentance in the heart. That God would grant a repentance and a willingness to come to God, to come before God. Yeah. And the Lord would help. God would make a way. And the Lord wants us to provide a way. The Lord wants us to see and understand that this is a better way. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Have you come across those who are unhappy because you tell them where they have gone wrong? Well, it is sad, because you find that all who would not take reproof, you find that we will not grow. But if we are willing to humble ourselves and be willing to accept reproof, then you may be called a wise man. That's how we learn. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Someone who tells you, well, thank God, praise God, I couldn't see, but now I see. Jesus says, enter the straight gate and walk the narrow way. Forsake the broad way that leads to destruction. Enter the straight gate. Well, here is given to us the call to come to God, to come to His house, to worship Him, to follow Him, to walk with Him. How blessed it is! Why do we choose to spurn such privilege? Isn't it sad? Very sad. But the broad way, you would find, Jesus says, many are walking in it. And there will not be many who will be faithful. Jesus says, in the last days, will I find faith on earth?
Well, the question begs a negative answer. Not many. But thank God, there is enough. Right? There is enough to fill an auditorium. And God wants us to go and bid the people to come. And Jesus says, go to the highway, go to the byway. Bring them in. All who are in need, in trouble, need help. The feast is prepared.
Verse 9 to 11, we said in our outline, feast, invitation to partake, verse 1 to 5, and foolish, instruction to forsake, verse 6 to 8, and verse 9 to 11, fear, the ingredients for entrance. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How do you enter the kingdom of God? Well, our text tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God, we would regard what God says in His Word.